Thank you, Mark, for those words and how true they are. People can miss their opportunity, and we trust by God's grace that you'll not miss your opportunity, but that you'll come to Christ and that you'll make tonight the night that you enter into God's salvation, and that tonight will be the night that you'll come and place your trust in Him. Thank you for coming out again. We thank you for that, and we trust that the Lord will bless. I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter number 7. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter number 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the end of His famous Sermon on the Mount. And He's now bringing the congregation to a moment of decision. He's bringing them to a crossroads. He's bringing them to a point where they will individually have to make a choice. We're going to commence our reading at the verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 7. The Word of God says this, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall I liken them to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The Savior now ends his speaking, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's keep our Bibles open in Matthew 7, and let us unite our hearts in prayer, asking help from the Lord tonight in the preaching of his word. Father, we come before Thee again. In our weakness, dear Father, and in our inability. Father, Lord, we bless Thee, dear Father, that Thou hast promised that Your grace is sufficient for me, that Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that tonight, that there might be a night, dear Father, where the power of Christ might rest upon the preaching of the Word of God. We're very conscious, O God, that the words of man will fall to the ground. We're very conscious, O God, that the letter killeth, but the Spirit bringeth life. And we bless the Almighty God that Thou hast promised the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And so, dear Father, in the name of Thy dear Son, Lord, humbly and reverently, we ask, O God, for the pouring out of Thy Spirit into this meeting. We pray that every thought, every wandering thought, might be brought into captivity.
And we pray, dear Father, that thou wilt drive out the enemy, that thou wilt apply the blood, send forth thy spirit, anoint, O God, this thy servant with power and with the Holy Ghost. We bless the Almighty God, that Elijah's God still lives today to take the guilt of sin away. And when I pray my heart's desire upon my soul, he'll send the fire. For thou hast promised to baptize thy child with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Open hearts, open ears, Lord, and open blinded eyes. For this we ask, for the glory of him who sits at thy right hand, bearing the marks of Calvary's tree. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I wonder, have you ever considered what it would be like having lived all your life thinking that you were a Christian, only to realize 1 second after you died that you weren't? I wonder, have you ever thought within your soul what it would be like to close your eyes in time, thinking that you would open them in God's heaven, only to find that you would open them in God's hell? I wonder, have you ever considered what it would be like to enter into eternity, anticipating to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," only to hear from the lips of the Savior, "I never knew you. Depart from me." I wonder, have you ever thought what it would have been like and what it will be like, having fooled yourself, having fooled your friends, having fooled your pastor, having fooled your church, having fooled them into believing that you were a Christian, only to realize that whenever you stand at the great white throne judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that you did not fool God? I have a burden in my heart tonight. This message was the first message that I was going to bring to this mission tonight, but I believe that this is the message for tonight's meeting. The burden of my heart is this. There are individuals within this meeting house tonight, and you sincerely believe that you are going to be found someday in God's heaven. But unfortunately, tonight, you're on the road to God's hell. You see, folks, your parents might say that you are a Christian. The church that you might attend might say that you are a Christian. Your friends might believe that you are a born-again Christian. But I want to say that there is very little evidence within your life to prove that there ever has been a moment in your life that you have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's ever been a moment in your life that you've been born again. You see, folks, the music that you listen to on your iPod and on your CD player is exactly the same music as the world listens to. I want to say that the language and the words that you use in daily day-to-day living are the same words as the ungodly use. The places that you go to at the weekends are the exact same places where your unsaved friends go to. You laugh at the same dirty jokes. You listen to the same filthy stories as the unconverted. You have no desire for the Bible. You have no desire for the house of God on a Sunday evening whenever the gospel is being preached. No, you would rather go to the port, sail up and down the port, and eat Morelli's ice cream on a Lord's Day evening. You have no desire for the place of prayer. You have no desire to witness to your friends and your loved ones about the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet you say, "Bless God, I am a Christian because I said a prayer once." Or, "Bless God, I am a Christian because I raised my hand in a meeting once." Or, "Bless God, I am a Christian because I went to an inquiry room and the preacher told me that I was born again." Or, "Bless God, my mom and dad says that there was a time in my life whenever I was just a boy or a girl, about 4 or 5 years of age, that I said the sinner prayer, and now I am a Christian." But what I want to ask you in this meeting tonight, on the 27th of September 2007, I want to ask you this question. Is it real? You see what you profess? You see that profession of faith that you have? I want to ask you, is it real? Is it real? Paul spoke about a counterfeit gospel. He spoke about a counterfeit gospel. And I believe that we live in a society and in a world of religion today that is preaching a counterfeit gospel. What do I mean by it? Well, he tells them, the people in Corinth, that there's going to come people and they're going to preach another Jesus. You see, the Jesus of the 21st century that Christianity and evangelicalism have made up is that Jesus allows you to do whatever you like. Jesus allows you to go out, you can profess to be a Christian, but you can go out in the weekend and you can go to the beach club and you can go to Kelly's and you can go to Dorman's and you can go to Mary's. You can go to the public house, but bless God, you're still a Christian. It's another Jesus. Your Jesus and the Jesus that's being preached is, you're still allowed to blaspheme the name of Christ, take the name of God in vain, but you expect someday, somehow, for God to swing open the doors of heaven to you. It is another Jesus. He goes on to say that there's not only going to be another Jesus, but there's going to be another spirit. And then he goes on to say, and there's going to be another gospel. You see, the gospel that's preached today has nothing to do about the old rugged cross. You see, whenever they spoke about the old rugged cross, it meant that you had to forsake everything and pick up the old rugged cross. But you know what the problem is today? That evangelical Christianity has smoothed the cross and planed the cross, and now it's a nice smooth cross. But I want to say that the gospel and the cross of the Bible is still the old rugged cross. The Word of God says that if any man will come after me, if anyone wants to become a Christian, let him deny himself, let him take up the cross, and let him follow me. I want to ask you what you profess tonight. Every individual, not one person, from preacher to pew tonight, can get away from this message. I want to ask you, is it real? What you profess, you say that you're a Christian, maybe you're in this meeting and you're not a Christian, we'll have a word from you later on, but what you profess, is it real? Has it affected your day-to-day living? Has it affected the people that you go out with? You know, it's very interesting that you find a lot of young Christian people going out with unsaved Christian people. Well, I want to say to you that that is an absolute violation against God's law. The Word of God says that you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's very simple and that's very easy to understand. You're not to be equaled or yoked together with unbelievers. Has it affected the choices that you make, the places that you go at the weekend, or can I ask you, is it all sham? You know, I listen to a lot of young people and say, I am a backslider. The only thing, folks, is that I don't believe that you ever front slid to backslide. I mean that. There are young people that I know of that go to the assembly that I go to, and you're possibly in this meeting tonight, and you say that you are a backslider. Well, I don't think you ever came to Christ. Because there is evidence in a Christian's life to prove that you are a true child of God. And God changes a life. Now I want to say to you, you might be in this meeting and you might say, you're being very offensive tonight. That doesn't matter because the mission will soon be over and you can punch me going out the door. It'll not matter to my looks anyway, so I don't care. But I want to say to you, the Word of God says something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse number 17. The Word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's a gentleman that I've listened to quite recently by the name of Paul Washer. If you ever get an opportunity to listen to some of his messages, powerful messages, Paul Washer. And he gives this illustration, and I'll bring it to modern day terms. Say I was to come to this meeting tonight, and I didn't arrive to 8:30 to the time that I was supposed to preach. And I came in through those doors, and Roger says, David's just here, he's just arrived, come on ahead and bring God's word. I say to you, I'm sorry folks that I'm late. But as I was crossing Broad Street tonight, I wasn't looking really around me, and a 40-foot juggernaut lorry with a pile of logs on behind knocked me down. Head on, straight head on. It was traveling about 30 miles an hour, this 40-foot juggernaut lorry. And I'm sorry I'm late, but now we're here, we'll open God's Word, and we'll get on with the message. Now you'd be thinking within your heart, either two things. Either that man is absolutely crazy, or you'll be thinking that he is the biggest liar on planet Earth. You see, you would expect a change in my appearance. You would expect a change with the encounter with a 40-foot juggernaut lion. Now this is the question. What's bigger? A 40-foot juggernaut lorry or God? A 40-foot juggernaut lorry or God? You see, I hear a lot of people say, I came to Jesus Christ, but I still smoke, drink, go to the nightclubs, but bless God, I'm still a Christian. I tell you, whenever you get an encounter with the living Christ, you'll never be the same again. Who's bigger? A juggernaut lorry or God? Now you're in this meeting and you say, well, I profess faith in Jesus Christ. Well, then I want to say to you, and you're living a life that isn't pleasing to God, and you're doing the things that you've done before you made this profession of faith, then you're calling God a liar. And you're calling the Bible a liar. Either God makes a person a new creature, or he doesn't. And that's very simple. He either makes a drunkard into a man that is sober, a wife abuser into someone that loves his wife, a drug addict into somebody that is clean, a blasphemer into someone that praises the Lord. You see, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to say to you in this meeting, you've maybe got some sort of sham in your life. And I want to ask you, is it real? Imagine stepping out in eternity, thinking that you were saved, born again, ready for heaven, and you lift your eyes in hell. Is it real? I don't know if you've ever watched some of those television programs on during the week. Usually they're on at 10 o'clock. You know, those people like Jeremy Kyle and Ricky Lake, you know, all those sort of chat shows. And you always see people coming in, you know, those sort of chat shows that they say, you know, I'm thick because my mother dropped me in my head whenever I was 3. And you're kind of thinking, no, you're thick because you're thick. You know, you're kind of thinking, and everyone else is to blame. I'm a drug addict because someone took a syringe and put drugs into me. Or I'm an alcoholic because someone poured the drink down my... Everybody else is to blame on those sort of programs. And you usually find someone coming in and you have a boy here and a boy here and a bouncer here, so you have. And he's saying that she has had a relationship with someone and she's saying that she hasn't. So the only way that they can decide who's telling the truth is to put them into a lie detector machine. And they ask them questions. And by the answer or by the response and by their answers, they're going to find out who's going to tell the truth. Well, tonight we're all going to go into a lie detector. And we're going to all ask ourselves some questions tonight. And I'm going to ask you 3 different questions. And by your response of those 3 different questions, they will determine whether or not you are a true child of God. Okay, are we ready? You see, the Word of God says that we are to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. The Word of God tells us, and that's in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, it tells us in 2 Peter 1 verse 10, that we are to give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Now here's the first question. Okay, everyone ready? Has there ever been a time in your life, has there ever been a moment in your life that you have stepped off the broad road and stepped onto the narrow way? Let's read the Word of God again, verse 13. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now I believe that I need to define some terms, because there are people in this meeting, and you maybe don't go to church, and you maybe don't understand what this preacher is speaking about. I need to first of all define what the broad way is. Now the broad way is the road upon which every human being is born onto. I was born on the broad way. It is the way of sin. It is the way of the transgressor. It is the way where transgressors of the law, it's where we all are born onto. It is the broad way. The Word of God says there is no difference. There is no difference, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a Protestant sinner or a Catholic sinner. It doesn't matter whether you're an atheist sinner or an agnostic sinner. It doesn't matter whether you're a Buddhist sinner or a Hindu sinner. It doesn't matter whether you're a Presbyterian sinner, a Free Presbyterian sinner, an Independent Methodist sinner, a Gospel Hall sinner, a Pentecostal sinner, a Jesus Saved sinner. It doesn't matter if you're an Elam sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a Church of Ireland sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a First, Second, Third Presbyterian sinner. It doesn't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all born sinners. Just like Mark said, we're all born sinners. And we're all born onto this broad road. Now on that broad road, you can do anything and everything that you want. There are no rules. There are no laws. There are no regulations. There are no commandments on this broad road. I want you to notice that its streets are lined with certain buildings. On the broad road, you'll find the public house. You'll find places like Dorman's. You'll find places like the Bentley. You'll find places like the Fireside Inn. You'll find places like the Hanover House and Coke. You'll find places like that on the broad road. You'll also find on the broad road casinos. You'll find poker rooms, poker schools. You'll find nightclubs, bingo halls. That's what you'll find on the broad road. As you walk down that broad road of sin upon which every human being is born onto, and if you look into the side streets, you'll find other buildings. You'll find places like strip clubs, brothels. You'll find the bookies there. William Hill's there. Mr. Rooney's there. They're all there on the broad road. Now you may ask, but what type of individual is on the broad road? Well, the selfish man is on the broad road. The materialistic man that's building his house and that's all he desires, the man that only is interested in his business and how much profit he can make, he's on that road. The adulterer is on the broad road. The vandal is on the broad road. The fornicator, those that commit sex outside the bounds of marriage, is on the broad road. The prostitute is on the broad road. The drunkard, the blasphemer, the homosexual and the lesbian are on the broad road. The atheist, the agnostic, all on the broad road. The person that makes, sells, and looks at pornography is on the broad road. The gambler is on the broad road. The murderer is on the broad road. The thief is on the broad road. The liar is on the broad road. The pedophile is on the broad road. The pervert is on the broad road. The religious hypocrite is on the broad road. The covetous man is on the broad road. The Christ rejecter is on the broad road. And sinner, you're on the broad road. And it's all leading to destruction. Whenever there was that great Roman Empire, it said that concerning the roads in Europe, it said that all roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. And that's very true. If you get off into France, you'll soon find a road and you'll find another road and soon you'll be in Rome. All roads lead to somewhere. Can I say to you the road of sin that you're on, unsaved friend, in this meeting, that it's going to take you to certain places. It's called the journey of the soul. Now I'll tell you that you're going to go down that road and the journey of the soul is going to take you, first of all, to a place called death. And we're all going to die. Immediately before your body hits the ground, your soul, that thing that makes up you, that thing that makes you different from the person that's sitting beside you tonight, that soul will depart from your body before it hits the ground, and that soul will immediately go to God's hell. It will stay there until what is known as the second or the resurrection of the dead. It is the resurrection of the soul and the body. There is a reuniting of both elements again, and they will then stand before the great white throne judgment seat of Jesus Christ. On that occasion, God will show you the reason why he's going to cast you into the lake of fire. After the judgment, after death, hell, and the great white throne judgment, you will spend eternity. You will spend all the rest of God's eternity in a place known as the lake of fire. Sinners don't go to hell forever. Sinners go to the lake of fire forever. You can read that in the book of the Revelation. It says that hell and death are cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the fear that I have tonight is that there are individuals in this meeting and you're going to be there. Because you rejected Jesus Christ. It is the journey of the soul. And the Word of God says that the huddled masses are on this road. It says, look what it says, verse 13, and many there be which go in thereat. Many there be which go in thereat, because it leadeth to destruction. Now I have defined what the broad way is. Are you on the broad way? Yes or no? Yes or no? Do the places that you go to the weekend, are there places like the public house, like the bookies? Have you been to strip clubs and places that you shouldn't have been? If you have, and if you have not repented of that, you are on the broad way. And you're not a Christian. Now I need to define what the narrow way is. You know, if the broad way is like one of those big interstates in America with maybe 10 or 15 lanes all going in one direction, the narrow way is the exact opposite of what the broad way is, because the narrow way is like a country lane. If you go up the mountain, you'll soon find a lane where there's only enough room for one car to pass, and if you turn about 1 meter either way, you'll soon be found in a shock. And if you Belfast people don't know what a shock is, it's like a ditch down the side, so it is, and you'll soon be found that you'll be wanting somebody to pull you out. The narrow way is very, very narrow. The Word of God says that only few ever find that way. It is, where does that way start? Well, I believe that it starts at a crossroads. And at the crossroads there stands a cross. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can get onto the narrow way is by coming to the cross, to the Lord Jesus Christ. There you repent of your sins, you turn from your sin, confessing your sin to God, and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you start onto the narrow way. Now I want to say that whenever you start on the narrow way, you'll soon come across a building that you never thought you would come across before in your life. It is known as God's house. God's house. An assembly of God's people where they worship. I'm not saying what denomination you find. That's not my business here in this mission. But you'll find a place known as God's house. And as you continue down that road of the narrow way, then you'll find another place where a lot of Christians don't seem to be able to find. And it's called the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. And Bible study. You'll find that on a Monday or a Wednesday or a Thursday night. A lot of Christians seem to not be able to find where it's at. I ask you, are you on the narrow way? Are you on the narrow way? Then as you continue on down that round, you'll find personal Bible study. And you'll find personal evangelism on that way. You'll find the Lord's Day is observed. You'll not find people eating ice cream on the Lord's Day and going into shops and into shopping centers and into leisure centers and washing their cars. No, you'll find people going to God's house if they're on the narrow way. You'll find the Lord's table. You'll find church membership. You'll find baptism. You'll find personal evangelism. Now I want to ask you, on what road are you on? Are you on the narrow way? Are you on the narrow way? My unsaved friend in this meeting, I want you to notice what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. I want you to realize that a choice has to be made here. First of all, I want you to see that a conscious choice must be made. For Jesus said, enter ye in. Enter in. That's what Jesus Christ. There is a conscious choice. You see, you walked down Churchwell Lane tonight and you made a choice, a personal, conscious choice to leave that road and come into the Bridewell tonight. And so it is with Christianity. You must make a conscious choice to leave the broad road of sin and step onto the narrow way. You must make a conscious choice. You must also make a personal choice. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in. Jesus said one day to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus also said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, it's coming to my brain's starting to go. Luke 13, verse number 1, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, I want to say that the salvation of your grandfather isn't good enough for you. And the salvation of your mother isn't good enough for you. You need to personally come to Jesus Christ. There is a conscious choice, there is a personal choice, and there is a difficult choice. For the Word of God says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now if you go back to the Greek, and the only way that I can ever go back to the Greek is using Strong's Concordance, you'll soon find what the word straight is. The word straight means to be narrowed by obstacles standing close by. I want you to picture the gate. This gate that leads to life and leads to heaven and leads to God's salvation and leads to the cross. I want you to notice that there are obstacles that will stand in your way to stop you from entering in. That's why Jesus said on another occasion, strive to enter in. In other words, you have to strive to get into God's salvation. What will stand in your way? The first thing that can stand in your way is fear. Fear. You see, you don't really know what to expect whenever you become a true child of God. You're afraid. But can I tell you, there's nothing to be afraid of from Jesus Christ. Because He loves you. And He cares for you. And He understands where you are tonight. He knows your problems. He knows your difficulties. He knows what's going on inside your soul. He knows the loneliness. He knows what's happened this week. He knows that your heart has been broken by somebody else. He knows all about it, friends. So don't fear. Don't fear. Another thing that can keep people from Christ is doubt. Could God ever save somebody like me? Bless God, He can. For He took me in. And He took Paul, that man Saul of Tarsus, who was going to slay the Christians, and God took him in. Oh, so sinner friend, do not doubt He'll take you in. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, maybe criticism stands in your road from coming to Christ. Maybe you're afraid of what the boys will say in at work tomorrow. Maybe you're afraid of what your boss would say. Maybe friends keep you back. Maybe a relationship keeps you back. Maybe that girlfriend is keeping you back from Christ. Maybe that boyfriend is keeping you back from Christ. You know, the devil is two lies to the sinner. I can see, as this gate, I can see the devil standing at this straight gate. And I can hear him whisper. And he's whispering maybe in your ear tonight. And he's whispering you the same two lies. The first lie that he tells an individual is, you're too bad to be saved. You're too bad to be saved. I can tell you folks that there's no person and there is no sin too bad that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. The Word of God says that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, oh sinner, they can be as white as wool. Oh, I trust, sinner, that you realize that you're not too bad to be saved. But then he also tells other people, you're too good to be lost. You're too good. Sure, you're a good neighbor. Sure, you're charitable. Sure, you're a decent sort of a guy. God will let you into heaven. But you know, the Word of God says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. I don't know if I mentioned it. I'm sure I did in this meeting. But the word right, or that word filthy, means the menstruous rags of a woman. The sanitary tiles of a woman. That's what your good works are like in the sight of God. Whenever a woman's body flushes out in that time of period and puts it into sanitary, that's what the word means. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And if that is your good works, what is your bad works like in His sight? You see, you're not too good to be lost. And you're not too bad to be saved. Now there's no in-between roads on these between these two roads. There's no halfway house. The Word of God makes it very clear. No man can serve two masters. You'll either love one or you'll hate the other. You'll either cleave to one or you'll hate the other. You cannot have Christ and the Word. You can't have it. This is the Word of Christ. There's no in-between roads. You might say, you know, that preacher's very narrow-minded. But you see, folks, Jesus said, it's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. The problem with church and Christianity and religion today is that Christianity has done a road widening scheme on the narrow way. The Church of Jesus Christ has added on extra lanes onto the narrow way. You can be a Christian and drink alcohol. No, you can't. The Word of God says, makes it very clear, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You can be a Christian and go out with an ungodly, unsaved person. No, you can't. Word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, saith the Lord. You can go to the discos and the nightclubs and be a Christian. No, you can't. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's still a narrow way, folks. And it doesn't matter what the Church of Jesus Christ so-called does today. If they try to widen this road, it's still a narrow road. And that's why few ever find it, because few only ever pay the price to be on the road. Has there ever been a time whenever you have stepped off the broad road and onto the narrow road? Has there ever been a time when you've said goodbye? What do I mean? Have you ever said goodbye to Dormans? Have you ever said goodbye to Marys? Have you ever said goodbye to the Elk? Have you ever said goodbye to the Bentley? Have you ever said goodbye to William Hill? Have you ever said goodbye to Mr. Rainey? Have you ever said goodbye to the Beach Club? Have you ever said goodbye to Kelly's? Have you ever said goodbye to Madonna? Have you ever said goodbye to the Sugar Babes? Have you ever said goodbye to Robbie Williams? Have you ever said goodbye to Eminem? Because if you haven't said goodbye, then you're not a Christian. And then whenever you say goodbye, have you ever said welcome, Lord's house? Have you ever said welcome, prayer meeting? Welcome, Bible study? Welcome, God's people? That's what it is to be a saying a goodbye and a saying hello to Jesus Christ. If there hasn't been a saying goodbye, and if you're living a life and your music is the same as the Lord's music and the place you go, I want to say with all the love of my heart, and believe you me, I'm saying this with all the love of my heart, you're on the way to hell tonight, and you're not a genuine Christian. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, but everybody in my youth group is a bit like me. Who says everyone in your youth group is saved? Did you ever think about that? But I'm just like the people that go to my church. Who says the people in your church are born again? You see, we need to ask ourselves some questions tonight. Has there ever been a moment that you've stepped off the broad road onto the narrow road? Now the second question is, what type of fruit are you producing in your life? Let's read verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now if I was to go to Mr. Del Monte's orchards, you know Mr. Del Monte, the man that always likes to say yes, Mr. Del Monte, he loves the best fruit, so he does. If I was to go to Mr. Del Monte's orchards, and I was to go to an orange tree, do you think I would expect to find bananas growing on it? You might be saying, I know, sure. You might be saying, don't be insulting my intelligence. If I went to a pineapple tree, and I think pineapples that grow on trees, do you think that I would find strawberries? No. You see, what the tree is what fruit it produces. Now that's what Jesus Christ, look what he says to them. Verse 16, do men gather grapes of thorns
Of course you don't.
He gathered grapes off a vine. And then he turns around and he says, figs. Do you think that you would gather figs off thistles? No. You get figs off a fig tree. And I can see these men and they're scratching their head and they're thinking, you know, Lord Jesus, don't be insulting our intelligence. We know that you get figs off a fig tree. We know that you get grapes off a vine. We know that you get bananas off a banana tree. Pineapples off a banana tree. We all know that because we know that what you get, the fruit, the tree that you've got, is the fruit that you'll produce. Don't insult our intelligence, God. Well, then I want to say to you in this meeting, don't insult God's intelligence, saying that you are a Christian and you're producing evil fruit in your life. You are an insult to God and to His gospel. Oh, I am a Christian, but I curse. Wise up. Wise up. I am a Christian and I go to the nightclub. Wise up. You're not. If any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creature. You see, the Word of God says, by your fruits ye shall know them. Now, I know that there's people in this meeting and you're very, very angry with what I'm saying tonight. But I did not come to make friends. I did not come to be preacher of the year 2007. I came to be faithful to what God's Word says. And you're saying in your heart, judge not, lest ye be not judged. But I want to say to you, don't misquote Scripture, lest ye be like the devil. Don't misquote Scripture, lest ye be like the devil. Jesus said, by your fruits ye shall know them. Now what type of fruit are you producing in your life? We need to turn very quickly to Galatians chapter 5 to see the different types of fruits there are. And we need to go down this list. And as we go down the list, I want you, unsaved person, to think in your heart, what best list describes my life tonight? Let's read what the Word of God says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is being the evil fruits. The first thing is adultery. Adultery. Have you ever committed adultery? You might say, but I'm just a young man. I don't know any married woman, so I've never committed adultery. Well, we've said on previous night, whenever Jesus came into this world, he did not come to destroy the law, but to intensify the law. Do you know what Jesus Christ said? He said that you've heard it said of old times that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh at a woman and lusteth after her in his heart hath already committed adultery in his heart. You know what that means? That means whenever you stand at a public bar and you look at a girl and you say, you know, she's a good-looking girl. And then you start to think in your mind all the different things that you could be doing with that girl that are not profitable for me to speak behind this sacred desk. But you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever done that in your life, then you've committed adultery. And God's law finds you guilty. Let's go on to the next thing. The Word of God says, this is an expert, fornication. Fornication, very simply, you don't understand what that word is, and neither did I until I looked it up. Fornication means committing a sexual act outside the bounds of marriage. Have you ever done that? If you have, you are a fornicator, and the Word of God says that no fornicator, unless they repent of their sin, will be in God's heaven. Are you at this present moment committing fornication outside the bounds of marriage with a sleeping partner? Well, the Word of God says that you are a fornicator and you'll not get into God's heaven. Let's look at the next one. It says uncleanness. That means impurity. Do you know what that incorporates? That incorporates pornography. I want to ask the young men, what magazines do you read? Are you reading FHM at the minute? Do you read magazines like Zoo and Nuts? You see if you do. You are in this list and that's what you're committing. Filthiness and uncleanness. Then it goes on to lasciviousness. That speaks about filthiness. That incorporates pedophilia to homosexuality and lesbianism. Now the first of these four, verse number 19, those are sexual sins. But then they're grouped again in the next verse, verse number 20, these are not sexual sins, these are spiritual sins. Idolatry. Is the reason why you're not saved tonight of because somebody or something else in your life? Is there something or someone else in your life that's keeping you back from Jesus Christ? If there is, then you're committing idolatry and you're producing evil fruit in your life. And that proves to me that you're not a genuine Christian. Witchcraft. You may say, well, I'm not a witch. I'm not a wizard. Well, have you ever been involved in the occult? Satanism. Have you ever read your stars, the horoscope? Russell Grant, or whoever you call the big fat man. Have you ever read your stories and your stars? That is witchcraft. That is the occult. That is Satanism. And have you ever been involved in Ouija boards? Ouija boards. If you have, that's producing evil fruit, and that shows that you're not a Christian. There's hatred. There's variance. That means quarrelsome. Are you quarrelsome? You see, whenever you're in the house, are you a quarrelsome young girl or young fella? Are you like an old cat in the house? You know, the old cats, and they would scrab and they would fight so they would with even their shadow. Are you like that at heart in the house? The word of God says, honour thy mother and father. Are you quarrelsome in the house? Then you are in this group. Word of God goes on to say, emulations, wrath. Are you a sort of boy that goes out at the weekend and you would fight with your shadow? There's a lot of boys like that that would fight with their shadow at the weekend. Well, that produces, it is evil fruits, seditions, divisions, heresy. There are sexual sins, verse 19. Verse 20, spiritual sins. Verse 21, social sins. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. I want to ask you, are you a binge drinker? You see, at the weekend, do you need half a bottle of vodka down your throat before you enjoy your life? Is that the type of fella you are in this meeting? Well, can I say to you that if that is and you're a drunkard, you'll not be in God's heaven unless you repent of your sin. Unless you turn from your sin. And then the last one of this is revelings. Do you know what that word reveling means? It means a letting loose of all moral restraint. It means just having one big party. Now we see the list. Let's note what the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Spirit of God says. With such the like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in time past, that they which do such things, okay? Those lists, remember, they're all in your head. Adultery, fornication, are you fighting at home and you can't be lived with? Drunkenness, revelings, going out for parties, going to the nightclubs every weekend. Look what it says. They that do which such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, folks, I'm stupid. And I know that. And I know that I don't have a lot of brains. But what I do know is whenever that is said, I understand what it means. It means that if I do any of these things and I do not repent of them, I will not be in God's heaven. It's as simple as that. That's evil fruit. What is the good fruit? Well, the good fruit is, goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I want to ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a 28-year-old young man, and I can honestly say, as I sit in this, stand in this way, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? It goes on to say, joy. Have you got joy? Christ gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Doesn't matter if your world is crashing around you, God still gives the child of God joy. Have you got peace? Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul. Are you long-suffering? Whenever somebody looks at you out of the other eye, you know, do you go down their throat or are you long-suffering? Are you gentle? Is there goodness in your life? Have you faith? Have you meekness? Have you temperance? Is there self-control in your life? You know, in the light of Scripture, I want to ask you, honestly, be honest with yourself. What list best describes you tonight? Is it the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit? If it is the fruits of the Spirit, then I want to say that you're not on the way to heaven tonight. You shall know them by their fruits. Let me put it another way. Maybe you don't understand what I've tried to say. If I was to open your mobile phone tonight and go into your inbox for your text messages, and if I was to bring up the last 10 messages that you received in your mobile phone, would they prove that you were a Christian? If I was to jump into your car tonight and turn on your radios or CD player, would the music that you were listening to before you came into this building tonight, would it show to me that you are a genuine Christian? Christian. If I was to go in to the cache on your computer and look at your web browsing, I wonder what type of web pages I would find in the cache of your computer or your laptop. Would they prove that you are a genuine Christian? If I was to take your DVD collection and take them into the courts of heaven tonight and play them on a big screen before God, would they prove to God that you are a genuine Christian? If I was to look at your company, the people that you hang about with every week, if I was to look at all your friends, are the majority of your friends Christians or non-Christians? You know, I live on a farm. And whenever I live on a farm, I always see cows with cows. And I always see sheep with sheep. And I always see pigs with pigs. And I always see hens with hens. Although we don't have any hens, but you would see hens with hens. Sometimes you see cows with sheep. That's because they've broke out. And you don't like that. But I'll tell you, folks, you always find cows with cows and sheep with sheep. Because you always find like with like. Now, if I was to ask you to bring up all your friends, would they be most of the majority of them, would they be mostly Christian, or would they be mostly non-Christian? You have to answer the question. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him. What type are you producing? The last question, and very quickly, it's the most important question. Do you value the cross? Do you value the cross? You see, in Matthew chapter 7, we come to an event that's still about to unfold. It is the great white throne judgment seat of Christ. And I believe outside the passages of Scripture concerning God's hell found in Luke's Gospel chapter 16 and in the book of the Revelation, I believe that Matthew 7 verse 22 is one of the most fearful verses in the whole of Scripture. Do you know what it says? It says, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. You know what it amazes me about this here passage of Scripture? Is that there's going to be people on the day of judgment at the great white throne judgment seat of Christ, and they are going to be oblivious to the fact that they are going to hell. These people think that they're going to heaven. Lord, Lord. They think that they're going to be in heaven. But God says to them, in modern day vernacular, who are you? You see, the question isn't, do you know Jesus Christ? That's not the question. The question is, does Jesus Christ know you? Does Jesus Christ know you? Lord, Lord, have we not... Lord, I preached in your name. Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. Lord, I done many wonderful works. Lord, you know, I was a good neighbor. Lord, I went to church. Lord, I put money into the charity box. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I was christened. Lord, I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't take your name in vain. They said, Lord, we've prophesied, we've done all these wonderful works, but you know, notice one thing that they don't mention whenever they stand before God? They don't mention the cross. And the only reason why this preacher will ever be in heaven is because of the cross. I'll not be in heaven because I took, and Roger took, this 2 week of mission. This 2 week of mission doesn't merit me 1 millisecond in heaven. Not one. No matter if I hand out 10,000 gospel tracts in all of my life, it'll not merit me 1 second in God's heaven. It doesn't matter how much praying I do, doesn't matter how much Bible study I do, it'll not merit me 1 minute in heaven. The only reason why I'll ever be in heaven is because there was a day in my life that I came to the cross. And the question that you need to ask yourself tonight is, do you value the cross? Do you value the cross? If you don't value the cross, then I want to say that you'll never be in God's heaven. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there on the cross, Jesus took my sin in his body, and my hell that I deserved, and the punishment that I deserved, Jesus Christ took it for me. Now the test is over. How did you fare? Are you on the broad road tonight, producing evil fruit? And are you boasting in what you can do to merit somehow favor with God? Is that your life tonight? If that's your life tonight, then you're not a Christian. And you'll not be in God's heaven. Or are you on the narrow way, living your life under the regulations and the commands of God? Are you producing good fruit in your life? And do you glory in nothing else save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now I want to ask you the question. Are you a true child of God? Or is all that you have ever professed, is it all sham? Is it all sham? You see, eternity is too long to be wrong. Eternity's too long to be wrong. You know, folks, it's more than just saying a prayer. Christianity is not about saying a prayer. It's not about raising a hand. It's not about going to an inquiry room. It's not about that, folks. It's about repenting of your sin. It is a saying goodbye, and it is saying welcome to Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you the question, are you a genuine Christian? The answer is yes or no, and that's it. If the question and the answer to the question is no, I want to ask you, what are you going to do about that? Because the only thing that you can do about it is to get to the cross tonight, and Christ will make you a new creature. I trust that tonight you'll not be like the foolish man that built his house in the sand, but that you'll build upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. I trust that you'll come to Christ tonight. Make sure that what you profess is real. Because you might have counterfeit goods and they'll not stand in God's eternity. Let's bow in prayer. As on other nights, maybe the Lord has been speaking to you outside these meetings, maybe inside these meetings, and tonight you want to respond to the call of the gospel. We're going to give you just a few minutes to respond. You can respond by raising your hand tonight and say, you know, preacher, I don't know if I'm a genuine Christian or not, but tonight I want to make sure that I'm ready for heaven. If that is the case tonight, and if you want to become a true child of God, then I want you to raise your hand. I'll see it, acknowledge it, and then we'll take you to a counseling room and speak to you about God's salvation. Is there anyone in this meeting that needs Jesus Christ? Father, some people, Father, think that this is just a joke. Some people think, Father, Lord, that this is, it's really pie in the sky. But Father, we know that this is so real. And there are individuals, and they're not Christians. And tonight their soul can be required of thee. And Father, they'll go to hell. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Speak to their souls. And bring them to the cross. For we pray it in Jesus Christ's name.